Welcome to the Happiness First Radio Show, where you learn to consciously create the life you want. Your host, Lorraine Gordon, an expert in law of attraction and present moment awareness, along with her expert guests, give you the tools you need to focus your attention and thoughts to create your best life. And now, here's your host, Lorraine Gordon.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Lorraine Gordon, and I'm your online coach of Your Happiness Way. And this show is all about your dreams coming true. I support you and teach you to create the life that you want and show you that you really only have the limitations you decide to have. You see, the truth is we are all a product of our upbringings. And whatever limitations our parents felt that they had, our caregivers, our teachers, even our neighbors, seems to trickle down to us. But as we grow and we become more and more conscious, it's so important for us to open our eyes and expand our horizons and realize that we can have and we can create so much more than perhaps we've ever even dreamt of. I'm an expert in and coach and speak on the law of attraction and present moment awareness. I am right now putting together a membership site where you can have contact with me on a weekly basis through webinars and teleseminars. So please look for that. I want you to think about this. We each have something like 65,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot of thoughts. Now, if we know and understand as we do that our thoughts are creative, it's rather overwhelming to think that we've got 65,000 creative thoughts. How in the world are we going to keep track of those? Well, I'm not going to ask you to, but what I will say is that most of those thoughts are nothing more than repetition. Something like 90% of those thoughts are repetition. So thoughts that you give emotion and attention to are the thoughts that become creative. And I want you to, as a person that's interested in the law of attraction, look around at your life and take some responsibility, because the things, the situations, the people, and the events that you now are part of, that you now see around you, have come into your life because it's a vibrational match, to how you're feeling, how you're thinking, and often we can bring it down to your basic beliefs. You see, your beliefs create your thoughts, and your thoughts, given emotion, create things. So it's a simple matter of, if you're not liking what you're seeing, if you're not enjoying whatever it is you've created for yourself, you want to look for the underlying belief that may have brought about the thought that created the emotion or the frequency that then brought that into your life. Beliefs are not necessarily truth. They're only beliefs because we've been taught that they're true. So it's very important to, once again, look around. In what way do you feel disempowered? In what way are you looking to change your life? And those are the beliefs I want you to question. Those are the beliefs I want you to ask yourself. And feel free to email me at Lorraine, that's L-O-R-A-N-E, at yourhappinessway.com, and ask me your questions about that. I am only too happy to talk to you about that. You know, I do personal coaching, personal life and success coaching, and I am here for a 15-minute free consultation for those of you that are interested in finding out a little bit more about being coached in that way. Now, if you're interested in daily inspiration, I encourage you to go to my Facebook page. That's Facebook / Your Happiness Way. And Twitter. I tweet an awful lot. Go to my Twitter page, which is at Lorraine Gordon, LORAnegordon, and you're going to get something inspirational from me probably every 20 to 30 minutes, and that'll help keep you on a vibrational plane that will cause you to attract what you want. You see, it's all about your frequency is a magnet to like types of things. And going back to that for just one moment, Wayne Dyer says, you don't manifest what you want. You manifest what you are. So that's pretty big, you know. What are you? That can give you a clue as to why certain things are happening in your life. And stuff happens. I am not saying that you should look around and take the blame. This is not about blame. It's going to rain. It's going to rain, but it's your decision to dance in the rain or not. You see, it's all about attitude. Today, I am very excited because I've got a wonderful guest. She is a brilliant woman, and I was fortunate enough to meet her this past weekend at a boot camp that I went to for people who do what I do, authors and speakers and coaches, etc. And I got in touch with this lovely woman, and she said, oh, my goodness, are you Lorraine Gordon on Twitter? I have been following your tweets. And I found that to be such a pleasure. We just clicked. Her name is Sandra Champlain, and her life went sort of like this. She had a fear of dying, which led her on a 15-year journey to find proof that life after death is real. And after the death of her father, she created How to Survive Grief, which is a free audio that was quickly heard by thousands worldwide. Armed with this powerful information that has reduced pain and even saved lives, she wrote a book called We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death. And this has become a number one international bestseller. And she's also the subject of the video documentary called We Don't Die. Sandra is a highly respected speaker, author, and entrepreneur, and she's committed to making a difference in the lives of others. So without waiting any longer, let's bring her on. Sandra?
Hello, Lorraine.
Hi.
So happy to be here. And what you didn't mention is that I not only followed your tweets, you were on my top three people of inspirational people to retweet. So I would always check my file to see what you say and then share that with my people. And then when I met you, I was just, you're the Lorraine Gordon. So it must be the law of attraction that brought us together, because to me, that was such a huge synchronicity and gift, and no question that it's time to partner together. So thank you for inviting me to be on your show.
Thank you for coming. And I'm grinning from ear to ear. And what we should tell the audience that's interesting is this, we were in a huge group, and I couldn't catch Sandra's eye. I heard her go onto the stage and talk. And I really knew I wanted to have her on the show. So I couldn't catch her eye. So I emailed her, and right in, she was sitting, you know, somewhere in the audience, and she emailed me back and said, is this Lorraine Gordon of Twitter?
Me? Lorraine Gordon? Oh, I was blown away. And you know what? Sometimes, and I'm sure you're the same way, our message is bigger than we are. It's so cool that you mention our 65,000 thoughts and our limitations. Everything inside of me, it tells me to keep my mouth shut. No one's going to listen to what I have to say. I'm not important. But I know truly, deeply the difference my words make in someone's life. So I raised my hand, no matter what my voice said inside me, made sure that I got put on that stage to introduce myself, introduce the book title. I knew there was people in the audience that have had losses, and I had to step out of my own way. And what a gift that you were in the audience and you heard that, and now we've connected. So we don't always have to listen to those thoughts in our head.
Well, I think, you know, what you brought up also is incredibly important in terms of law of attraction. You know, we have to be so aware. We have to be the observer of those voices that disempowering voice that may say, oh, who are you to get up and talk, or say to me, why would you do a radio show? I mean, we all have that voice. And through my teachings, it's about actually listening to the voice, not pushing it away, listening to it, and then refocusing our attention on what our heart is telling us. And it's very obvious to me that you are heart-driven, Sandra. You seem to be totally coming from that loving place with your message.
And all I want to do is make a difference. I found some tools that help people live a better life, live life full out while we're here on Earth. Everything that you said in your introduction, I am 100% in line with. Some of it I just speak in different words, but it's the same message, the present moment, awareness, I mean, all of it. And so the more of us with the same message making a difference, the more it becomes common conversation for people, and the more we can actually utilize the law of attraction and have our dreams come true and have a very empowered life.
Yeah, I believe that too. You know, you said that you started this journey because you were not a believer, but it was sort of out of fear that you began looking to see. I mean, were you wanting there to be life after death, or did you have an opinion on it in terms of your desire for it?
I wanted it to be true. My book is titled We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death. Not only was I not a believer, but I would laugh at anyone who believed in anything mystical, mediums, angels, law of attraction, no offense. But I would go into a bookstore and there's the whole spiritual area, and I was so opinionated that people just need to get a life. That stuff isn't real, don't pay any attention to it. But I woke up one day with an incredible fear of dying. Now, people have often asked, did something happen? Did I just lose someone? And the answer is no, but I think I have had several losses. My grandfather died, certainly pets had died. Mm-hmm. I worked in a nursing home, and I got very close to a lot of the residents. I'd go sit with them after my shift was over, and then they'd die. Mm-hmm. And I think just going through a time in my life when, you know, in the same bad stuff keeps happening. My heart got broken several times by men I had dated. I wasn't happy with myself, with my life. I was overworking, and somehow it just, like, I just couldn't handle the question, what happens after I die? Is there any proof of life after death? Do I go on? You know, every time I'd look up at the stars and think of the vastness of the universe, it just represented itself inside of me as fear. I couldn't handle the not knowing, and I grew up Catholic, but just having faith in the hereafter was not enough.
This is so
interesting,
my journey. Because for many of us, looking up at the sky and the vastness of the, you know, the stars gives us a very deep spiritual feeling. But you said for you it made you feel fearful.
Fearful and small and insignificant. And is there any purpose to my life?
Ah, any purpose. That's a brilliant question. Yeah, purpose. So important. So what evidence did you find that we don't die?
Well, I started having, and I have to condense this because obviously our show is short here, but I started having a string of synchronicities, things like I would know a song before it came on the radio. I would know, a name in my head like Ashley, and then the phone would ring and it would be a telemarketer named Ashley. I started having these weird coincidences, shall we call them.
Synchronicities,
yes. Yes, mm-hmm. That, and then what also happened is a friend of mine gave me a deck of angel cards.
Wow.
Written by Doreen Virtue.
Oh, my goodness, and you weren't even into angels either. So
no, gosh, no. But I really loved my friend, and I truly believed that any card I pulled out of the deck would somehow apply to my life, and you can't convince me that it has anything to do with angels. Well, but here's the thing. Every day I'd pick out 8 out of 9 days in a row, I picked out the exact same card after shuffling.
Wow.
And the card was the music card. And I started hearing lyrics in music that applied to my life. This is when I started hearing names of songs and actual songs, and then turning on the radio and that song would be on. And this ultimately led me to do a little research on Doreen Virtue. And not only is she the angel lady and psychic and things like that, but she is someone who offered a 3-day course in mediumship.
Wow.
At the end of 3 days, you will be able to tell the deceased people around others. And so Lorraine, on one hand, Sandra Skeptic, said there's no way. I want to prove that that's impossible.
Right.
Sandra Fear of Dying, on the other hand, said, wow, if she can prove that, maybe my fear will go away. So I spent money I did not have, flew to Laguna Beach, California for a weekend, and took a course in mediumship. And I'd love to share the aha moment that first opened my eyes to life after death is real.
Please do. And I think everyone's interested in this.
The very first thing is Doreen welcomed us all. She understood we were all nervous. And so to take our fear away, she says, all we're going to do is a playful exercise. We are not really going to be mediums right now, but I'm going to show you how we do it when we start doing medium readings. So just for fun now, we're just going to play. Everybody grab a partner, sit knee to knee, hold hands, and she says, I want you to just use your imagination and invent a person standing behind your partner. And she says, this is what we'll be doing when we do the actual readings, but for right now, just invent someone. And beforehand, Lorraine, we had to create a safe place. We had to visualize our energy being raised. We actually ask. People retain their same personalities after we are deceased when we cross into heaven or the hereafter. So being polite, using our manners, and would you like to talk to me and things like that. So I went first because, again, we weren't really doing a medium reading. We were playing pretend. And with my eyes closed, the coaching was, whatever you see in your mind's eye, whatever you hear in your ears, just verbalize it. Tell a story. Very often there's a profound message that comes through. And I'm a chef by trade, so I have no problem with my creativity. I think I'm highly creative. So what I did is I invented a man standing behind my partner. And with my eyes closed, I just started telling the story. So I see, this is what I'm telling her, your grandfather on your mom's side standing behind you. His name is Jan. He was from Denmark. He was a fisherman. He died of lung cancer. He had long, kind of wavy blonde hair. He had red windburn skin with lots of little pockets in his skin, big gap between his two front teeth. And he had never told your mom that he loves her. And he felt bad about that. And so could you give her the message that he's with her and he loves her? So I open my eyes like, okay, my turn's over, your turn. And the partner that I had is sitting there with just tears running down her cheeks.
Oh, my goodness.
She was very much like me, really questioned the afterlife, but came for the very same reason. Her grandfather's name was Jan. He was from Denmark. He worked on a fishing boat. He fit the description. He died of lung cancer, and he had never said to his own daughter that he loved her.
Oh, my goodness. You saw him. You got him.
I saw him no different than I see someone in my imagination.
Right, right.
And so, you know,
that's why you would discount it, but you were taught to allow your imagination to play.
Right, and had I not been given the freedom to play, I would have been too scared. The voice in my head would have said, you know, I'm not a medium, this can't be real, and it would have overruled that imagination side. So, and I love that you talk about present moment awareness, because I've spoken with enough mediums, enough psychics, enough people that have invented things, even some of our famous, like Steve Jobs or Tina Turner getting her music ideas, or Paul McCartney, people would attribute it to being in the present moment.
Absolutely.
I think that is the gateway for much more than we know. And so often when we can see our deceased loved ones around us, and we may chalk it up to just our imagination or wishful thinking, I say they're right there.
So did she bring you into, did she give you like an exercise to bring you into the present moment prior to, or did something occur where you were able to just get completely present?
She gave us an exercise, just quieting our mind, knowing that there'll be an analytical side of our mind that is wants to pretend
discount,
this is a
right.
real discount and things like that. And so just try to let that go and then create someone.
Now, when the tables were turned and it was her turn to do that for you, was she as successful as you were?
She was. She knew my grandfather's name was John.
Oh, my goodness.
She saw him with a cane.
Oh, my goodness.
He used to wear gray pants and a light blue shirt for work. She saw that. And he had a German Shepherd named Champa. So she saw the German Shepherd by his side and the cane that he had.
Oh, Was your mind blown?
Goosebumps beyond belief. And now, what I wish I could tell you is that I had 3 days of being accurate all the time. It was less than half the time that I was accurate, because the other half of the time it was my imagination or just things I wasn't sure about people. And so, you know, at that point, that was enough to open the door that life after death is real. But at that time, I certainly wasn't going to tell anybody about it, because why? They'd say, Sandra, you took a course in mediumship. Who do you see around me? And I was not willing to risk that other 50% of the time being wrong, having people laugh at me, having people call me names like I called people names that believed in this. So I stayed quiet.
Aha. Uh-huh. So what changed? Why then did you get unquiet?
Well,
because you're shouting it out loud now.
Oh, this is all back around 2005. I had the best of the best information. What happened was throughout time, I would meet people that would have a loss in their life and that were experiencing grief. And part of me was just, wow, I should really tell them what I know. But then again, the voice won out, and I didn't. And so,
you mean the critical voice that says, you know, I'm probably wrong, and who are you to do such a thing?
Oh,
that
yeah.
Kind of voice?
Oh, yeah. And then if I tried to connect someone with their deceased loved one who was really hopeful, who was grieving a loss, and I couldn't do it, I mean, I would be doing them a disservice. So I talked myself out of it every time. But what I decided to do with any more research, I kept thinking, is there something else that I can do or learn about that can teach people that it is real? So there's things like, I met Reverend Rita Berkowitz, who is thespiritartist.com. She's a minister that not only acts as a medium, but she's a brilliant artist. She draws pictures of who she sees around you. And on her website, it's so cool. There's pictures of people as they existed, and in her image, what she saw, they're the same people. There's something called electronic voice phenomena, which really sounds way out there, futuristic, impossible, but it is recording sounds, for instance, recording sounds of raindrops coming down, and same thing, having kind of a prayer, raising vibrations, and pressing the record button, and our deceased friends and family can actually rearrange sound on tape recorders and put a voice on there.
I love that. Okay, so just I want to back up just for a second to make it perfectly clear, because
sure.
I get it, but I want to make this clear. So there's a special device that you can use to record nature, for example, raindrops.
Right.
And then is there a ceremony that you do prior to replaying it to listen to the voices?
The ceremony is actually beforehand, just like doing the medium reading. It is
a state of mind.
It's a state of mind.
Right.
Centering myself visually in my mind. You know what's funny? What's coming in right now is my critical voice saying, people are going to think you're nuts. This is now way out there.
Well, you're on the right station for that.
Well,
because they're nuts that way. Here.
I know, and I can tell you what happened to me to convince me that this was real. But it was surrounding myself in like a white, pure light, asking if there's anyone that wants to come through, you know, to try to speak very loud. I have no idea of what it would be like to rearrange sound energy to make voices, but I was willing to go for it. I had taken a course in electronic voice phenomena, really, again, trying to not have to rely on the thoughts that come through my head,
right,
and visions, but like, if I can record a sound, people will believe me. So when I was at this weekend retreat, part of the homework was to go back to our cabins, and we each just had a tape recorder,
right.
Nothing too special. I had a digital tape recorder, and Lorraine, I was in a cabin by myself. It was pouring rain outside, and I turned my tape recorder on, and I pictured around the foot of my bed my grandmother, my grandfather, an aunt and uncle that are deceased, and you know, right away I'm thinking, oh, I'm making this up. They're not really here, but on my recorder, I say, and I recorded this so you can hear it, if you guys are really here and this is real and I'm meant to help people believe in life after death, I need you to talk really, really loud. And I said, so I'm going to do this recording, and then I'm going to say goodnight. Everything inside me, while this, I'm watching this thing record for a minute, everything inside me is just like, oh, you are a lunatic. And thankfully, I didn't tell anybody beforehand that I took the course, because then they'd really think I was crazy. So I let it record for a minute, and then I said, okay, good night. And then I plugged my headphones into my digital recorder, and I pressed the play button. Now, over the course of the seminar, what we were doing in class is we had to upload these sounds into the instructor's computer, and then we played it loud, and then if we thought we heard something, we had to loop it and listen over and over and over and try to detect, well, what kind of voice is that? Well, something else happened. When I played just the recording right to my ears, I hear, good night, Sandra.
Oh, my God.
In a man's voice.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, still gives me goosebumps. Two women whisper, good night, good night. Okay. And then a fourth male's voice comes on. It says, good night. And that moment was the moment, number one, it scared the heck out of
me. And it was clear as day, those voices?
It is clear.
On the recording.
Yes, on my website, which we'll give in a bit.
Oh, yeah, give the website, because
okay.
I'm sure everybody wants to.
Oh, I know. Well, WeDon'tDie.com is the website. And we can get into this at the end, but I have a special gift for all of your listeners. So if you just scroll down to the bottom of the page, you'll see Lorraine's beautiful face. And there's a little place for you to put your name and your email address, and I've got a bunch of goodies for you. But on that main website, there's a video, and you had mentioned in the introduction, a Emmy Award-winning videographer made a 50-minute movie about me. He was an atheist turned believer after reading We Don't Die. And he said, if you could do that for me in a book, not everybody reads, what can we do in a video? So on that video there's a 1 minute trailer for the video, and on that trailer is the good night, Sandra.
Oh my goodness. So we will
yes.
hear it. You
yes.
know, Sandra, I want to tell you as a child, I remember one night being very kind of unhappy. I was very unhappy. And as a matter of fact, that's kind of what led me on, began my road to what I now teach and know and believe in so strongly, was created by being an unhappy child. But I remember trying to put myself to sleep, and I felt depressed and down, and I heard so clearly in the kindest voice, a male voice, sleep now, Lorraine. Sleep.
Aww.
I'll never forget it, never. And now, after talking to you, I'm absolutely positive it was a voice. Anyway,
well, and it's easy to think, because now the skeptical mind's going to say,
yeah,
well, you heard a sound and you made that up.
Well,
great.
I believed it was a voice, but I don't think I believed it necessarily as much as I believe it now.
I agree. And even the voice that I heard, the goodnight, Sandra, could I have been making that up? And here's the thing. After having now this, it's not tangible, audible evidence, I decided to be brave. And when someone came to me and I heard someone had a loss, I would very courageously say, I've done something. I don't know what you're going to think about it, but I'm going to let you decide. Can I tell you my story of why I believe in life after death? And I've worked with over 200 people, never charged a penny. These are people I met on airplanes, at seminars, wherever. And, I mean, very, very interesting. We do a one-minute recording. And not only would we listen to hear a voice, very often say their name, say, I love you. One man I had met, his...
You know what, Sandra? I want to hear...
Commercial.
I want to hear about this man. I really do, but I have to take a break for my sponsors. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever imagined a life without worries, fears, and problems? What if I told you that you no longer had to live like that? Changes are possible for you through my teachings and affirmations, CDs, DVDs, and apps. Through our book, Peace in the Present Moment, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, and I can show you how living in the present moment will change your life. Visit my website, peaceinthepresentmoment.net, and get inspired on my Facebook page of over 73,000 likes.
Do you know that the way to make the law of attraction work for you is to be happy first? You see, the law of attraction works because it draws into you an equal energy match to whatever you're emitting. If you're feeling down, if you're depressed, if you're feeling like a victim, or if you're looking at what you don't have instead of what you do have, you will draw in more situations that line up with that frequency. But if you're feeling happy, you're able to use the law of attraction to bring in the things that you want, the things that make you feel happier, like wonderful relationships and beautiful material things and good health. That's how I discovered my Happiness First program. It's worked for me and thousands of my clients and students, and it will work for you too. Go to LorraineGordon.com. That's LorraineGordon.com, and put the Happiness First program into your shopping cart. I'm offering it to you today at 50% off. As you check out, put in the code HAPPYNOW, HAPPYNOW, and you will get the program at 50% of its listed price. And on top of that, I know this program will work. I'm so sure of it. I'm offering you a 30-day money-back guarantee. If for any reason you don't feel that this program is all that I've promised you, just send me an email, let me know, and I will happily refund your money. Go to LorraineGordon.com. That's LorraineGordon.com. It's worked for thousands of my clients and students, and it will work for you too.
The power of the I Am is yours at LOAAffirmations.com, bringing you the very best in audio affirmations programs and introducing our newest title, I Am Happy, Healthy, and Wealthy. All of the LOAAffirmations.com programs are MP3 instant downloads and come with multiple audio and subliminal tracks. Order yours today at LOAAffirmations.com.
Okay, back again. Thank you, Sandra. So
tell me
more about that voice.
Well, there was a man that I met at a seminar who had told me he lost his sister and he'd never gotten over the pain. He felt personally responsible for his sister's death. And so I had told him about this electronic voice phenomena and my class in mediumship, and he said, could we try to connect with her? And so in the hotel room that I had, I played the shower because I figured the water is a good background noise. We just did a one-minute recording after saying a prayer and inviting her to come through. Well, what was happening in my mind's eye is I saw a girl with blue eyes, pigtails, a gap between her two front teeth, maybe 8 or 9 years old. When we did the recording, I hear, "I love you, Billy. Remember the game we used to play. Remember Clue."
Oh, my goodness.
So he could hear that.
He heard it, too.
He heard it, too.
Wow.
He told me that he used to play the game Clue with his sister, and she fit the description of what came in my mind's eye. So all of that proved to this man, and he could let go of his guilt, and he could move on with life because he had now this information. So I was very undercover because I did not, at that time, the voice in my head was saying, yeah, someday you could tell a lot more people about this. You could write a book, but the inner critic is saying, you're a nobody. Who's going to listen to you? You don't know how to write a book. And that was another thing that got put on the back burner until the big thing happened, which is the death of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And in long story short, dad died in May of 2010, and I was by his side for the last 5 months of his life. He had cancer. And not only did my relationship end with my dad because he died, but our family, my close-knit siblings and I, turned into one of those evil families that you hear about, you know, fighting about belongings, somebody being called the greedy one. And you know how families come apart when there's a death? That happened in my own family.
Wow.
And I researched grief. I was in the deepest of deep state of being I could ever be in, whether you call it depression, grief, whatever it was not the Sandra who's on this radio show today. It was someone, now I don't want to say that I was contemplating committing suicide, but I had compassion for people that did. I said to myself, this must be where people get to that realize there's no way out. And I could understand how suicide would be an easy choice being that deeply depressed. And it's like a light bulb went off that, wait a minute, Sandra, this is not who you are. And that made me study the world of grief. What in the world happens to us that not only makes us so depressed, so sad, it's so painful, but it would turn close relationships sour and make people fight. And I found this world of grief that's not just the stages you hear about, but what happens within the brain during the grieving process. We actually lose some of our healthy brain chemicals while we're grieving. And that causes the anger. That causes the depression.
Oh, this is quite interesting. So
it is.
There's a scientific reasoning behind that.
Right.
Behind some of the craziness that people experience.
Exactly. And I want to give, there was a time that I had had a conversation prior to my dad's death with my older sister. Now, we can experience grief before someone dies. It's called anticipatory grief. And as you know, grief also hits when we have a divorce or we lose a relationship or if we lose our health or our finances. I mean, there's many different things that cause grief in our brain. Anytime we have a significant loss, grief can kick in. And why this happens is, say I'm in, you know, I love my dad. So if we can compare this to, I mean, this might be a very poor comparison, but if somebody is addicted to, let's say, a chemical dependency, and you take away that chemical, we go through a withdrawal process. When we love someone, there is an actual chemical fix that's happening within our brains. When they are gone, we are going through a withdrawal process. We call it grief. Our body has to, and our mind has to rearrange itself for the new reality without that person.
You mean it's a physical withdrawal, the way we would withdraw from caffeine or nicotine? Is that
correct.
What you say?
But
this is so interesting. Why has science not told us this?
Well, it's in there. I mean, when we start, here's the thing, right? Like, I think life after death and law of attraction and things like that have been around since day one. But why hasn't it been told? Because there haven't been the people like you, like me, getting it out there and educating people. I mean, at that one time, and believe it or not, mankind believed that the earth was flat. And now, years later, well, of course we know it's round. It was almost 500 years after the world was proved to be round that people went to their deathbeds believing it was still flat. It's very hard for us to accept something new. So there haven't been any crusaders out trying to shed light on the grieving process. But here's why I chose to do so. Because everything that I learned about grief, how it impacts our brain, how it impacts our memory, our communication centers in our brain. You and I could be sisters thinking we're having a certain conversation. You store it like it happened one way. I store it like it happened another. That's where arguments can happen and ultimately feuds. And it's hard enough to lose one person you love, but when families break up, you lose more than that. So when I got all my information together, and I even found some things to help ease the pain of grief, I decided this has nothing to do with life after death, but I need to get this grief information out there because I think it'll help people. So I didn't have a clue about the internet, but I did have my faithful recording, you know, tape recorder, and I recorded a 70-minute audio, and I called it How to Survive Grief. I bought the domain name survivegrief.com, and just 3 months after Dad died, I posted this. People could go, they could press play, or they could press download. And in just a few months, Lorraine, over 3,000 people had pressed download. I have no idea how many people pressed play, but I'm sure it was a lot. People started emailing me that it helped lift them out of their grief. It helped give them hope. It helped them understand what was going on within their families. And then the final thing that made me say, man, this has to get out worldwide, is several people reported being in such a low state that they were going to take their own lives. But when they heard my audio, they chose to live and use the steps to get out of grief.
Is this audio one of the gifts you're giving to the listeners?
It is indeed.
Oh, please tell them about where to get it, because I think they're going to really want it and exactly what they're going to get.
Oh, absolutely. When you go to my website, wedontdie.com, and you scroll to the bottom of the page, it's a very secret little place just for your listeners, you'll see Lorraine's face, and just beneath it, there will be a box that says enter your name and your email address. And when you do that, there's several things that are going to pop up, but one of them is my How to Survive Grief audio. One of them is the foreword of my book by Dr. Bernie Siegel in the first chapter. One of them is an audio, a visualization, actually, of helping you reconnect with your deceased loved ones. So it puts you in that quiet place in your mind where you can reconnect. There's also an audio to help break through any of your limiting beliefs. And I'm sure there'll be something else on there as well.
That sounds really exciting. I mean, I think so many of us want to connect with our relatives that are people that we love that have passed on, because I don't know about the rest of you, but I have questions that I would like answers to. Are people able to do that? Are they able to get answers?
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing, because if you haven't spoken to someone for a number of years, okay, whether they're dead or alive, and whether it's doing like my recording, the electronic voice phenomena, or connecting in reconnections, our loved ones are around. Let me just answer this question because I want to ask it. Well, where is heaven? Is it a place in the clouds? I say no. You know how right around us right now, most of us have the wireless internet.
Right.
Or if we don't have a wireless internet, there's radio and television waves that are bouncing around GPS signals. Now, we are all made up of energy. Do we have to see something to believe it's real? Well, no, because the wireless internet exists and we can't see it.
So true.
When we die, we change forms. If you can imagine a log that burns, it turns into heat. Now, the log might be gone, but the energy is still around. Or if you have a puddle, and on a bright, sunshiny day, the puddle evaporates. Now, does it mean that the water is gone, or did it just change forms? We human beings are all energy, and when we die, we change forms, and we just go back to a different energy state. And I think that we are vibrating in and amongst the wireless internet, and heaven is right here around us. That's why we can connect so fast with our loved ones. I don't think people are around us 24/7. In fact, a medium wrote a book called Are Dead People Watching Me in the Shower?
I love that.
Oh,
I think
so did I.
We've all had that question, haven't we?
Yes. When I first got my first electronic voice phenomena recording, it scared the heck out of me because it's like, am I never alone? Well, no. Here's how it goes, and this is just not just my belief, but in my research, I wanted to pull together the common denominators from different researchers and things like that. And so when we do pass away, or we go to the hereafter or heaven, wherever you want to call it, it is right here on a different dimension. But I do believe there's learning to be done. A life here was education for the soul, but literally they're only a thought away. And when you're sad, when you need them, when you call upon them, they can be there in a blink of an eye. So you're not surrounded 24/7.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah,
to know.
I know.
I don't want to think of my past on relatives watching me in my private moments.
No.
And I don't think any of us do. But
no.
Let me ask you a question. I think that a lot of people are going to go to your website, and I hope they do, and download those generous gifts that you're giving them, and I thank you for that. But give us a little hint. If you're, like, let's say someone is sitting around and they're sad, and they remember somebody in their life who was soothing to them, who gave them courage, What would be a good way to connect? Can you tell us that?
Well, it is literally imagining they're there with you. It takes quieting your mind. And so I haven't read all of your things, Lorraine, and listened to all of your audios, but what I like to teach people to do is just get in the present moment. If you are sitting on your couch, and maybe you have your kitty cat sitting next to you, and you're just touching its fur or petting it, if you can be 100% in that moment and being present, letting go of any of the chit-chat going on in your mind and what your little voice is thinking about your grocery list and what you need to do tomorrow, and be, say, 100% seated where you are, feel maybe the cat's fur under your fingertips, or take a few deep breaths, really listen to the sound of your breathing, and just quiet the mind. And sitting on the couch next to you, or you could do this sitting at your dining room table, just picture your loved one there with you. Now, what always happens is that critical voice will kick in saying, this isn't real, just set it aside. Fine, you know it's there, it's part of being human. But quiet the mind and be there with that person. Even if you could imagine, what I imagine often is my dad sitting right next to me, and I can still feel what his skin felt like.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's so
nice. But what happens so often is the dad that I see in my mental picture is not the dad that I last saw on Earth. I see someone who's got like a polo shirt on and hair and nice tan, and not the 74-year-old man that was, you know, but my last images of him. And you know, here's another example. My great uncle just died 2 weeks ago. But I had never seen him as a young man. And right before I fell asleep one night, and this is another good thing, first thing in the morning when you wake up and just before you go to bed at night, it's a great time when that little voice in your head is relaxed, and it's a good way to connect. But Uncle Rudy showed himself to me as a young man in a suit. I mean, I have never known this man young. I've never seen pictures from that side of the family, nothing. But there he was, just happy and just great. Like, I just knew he was there.
Wow.
And so, yeah, look for, you know, when you haven't seen them quite like that before, to know they're there. And we all pick up on things different ways. I'm a very visual person. So the first thing I'll see in my mind's eye is like a picture of somebody. Now, there's people that are kinesthetic, that the first thing that'll come up is how they made them feel. So it could be soothing. It could be a feeling of love comes over you.
Mm.
Some people don't get either of those, but they get their voice coming in.
Wow.
So there's nothing wrong with any way that this comes through.
But you're definitely saying get quiet, get very present in the moment, and even if it's enjoying your sensory perception, such as, you know, touching your dog or your cat on the sofa, which, by the way, I was doing right before this call. So I think you're really getting a lot of psychic ability right now, Sandra.
Thanks. And trusting it, too, because
trusting it,
asking, yeah. And yeah. Even asking, because here's the big thing, is there's so much pain on the planet. And to really understand grief, to understand life after death is real, when we're not afraid of dying, we're not afraid of living.
Right.
Our life here on Earth, I believe, and you may too, that it's an education for the soul.
Totally.
There are ups, there are downs. We go through some torture, some pain while we're here. That's awful. And do I have an understanding about suffering and why we have to suffer so bad? I do not. But when we, each one of us, look back on our lives, we've had good things happen, we've had bad things happen. Each one of those things had to happen, so we are the people we are today. And it may be very difficult if you're suffering right now to see any way through it, or that it's going to end, or something good will come out of it. And I can only use the comparison. When Dad died, I was at the lowest of lows that I never thought there would be a way out. Never. And for me now, 3.5 years after his death, to have Dad's death go from the worst thing that's happened to me to now the best thing that's happened to me,
oh my
because
goodness.
12 to 15,000 people between reading the book and hearing the grief audio, because, oh, by the way, that grief audio has turned into chapter 10 in my book. So whether or not people want to know about grief, they're going to. So I talk about my journey of life after death, one chapter about grief, and then the rest is how to have a powerful life while we're here on planet Earth.
Sounds like a spectacular book. Can they get it on your website?
Oh, absolutely. You can get it on my website or at your favorite bookstore. It's in Kindle and Nook. And
give us the name of it once again.
My book is titled We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death.
I love that.
I love my book. And I think I wrote it for me, actually, because I can read it over and over. And it's one of those books that's filled with quotes, and you can turn to any page and get what you need. There's a woman that had lost her husband, and they were married 46 years. And the adult daughters really wanted to give Mom a copy of my book. And she's like, I don't believe in that. You, there's no way. Don't leave it in my house. Well, they left it in her house anyways. Well, Mom read We Don't Die, and she's out now taking country line dancing classes. And of course, she still misses her husband, but
right.
there's a different way to live knowing that he's still around
right.
and that our lives are for a purpose.
Well, I love that, because you're basically saying we need not feel as heartbroken as so many feel when we lose someone physically that we love, that there is a connection that maintains.
Exactly.
That can give you comfort and give you warmth. And bring happiness once again back into your life. And I think that is so important.
And we can ask for signs, too. I don't want to miss this, because when you're having that conversation that you think might be make-believe with a loved one, if you can ask them for a sign or ask them for something specific, you know, one lady, we always hear the loved ones leave a penny floating around. Well, this woman wanted...
I've never heard that.
Oh, you haven't heard that?
No.
Yeah. There's a woman, Christine Dominiak, that wrote a book on all the signs from our loved ones, and she was telling me this story that somebody said, yeah, people often say that when they find a penny, they think it's their loved one that is thinking of them. Well, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, penny, we find pennies everywhere. Pennies are junk money these days. Nobody cares about pennies. So this woman asked for a quarter. Well, she finds quarters everywhere.
Wow.
Everywhere.
Wow.
And so we can say, you know, grandma or, you know, your spouse, if, you know, just show me that you're around. Maybe something only you and I would know. Things like that. And then be willing. You have to have that quiet mind to see them.
Yes.
When we're too busy thinking about our laundry list, it's very hard to be in the present moment. But you need to start paying attention, and then all of a sudden, these little things will show up, and you'll know that they're with you.
You know, it's only in the present moment that we're able to actually experience life. So why wouldn't it also be that in the present moment we're also able to connect with those that are here, just on a different plane? I mean, it makes so much sense to me. It really does.
Yes. All of that psychic power, whatever you want to call it, or divine thinking, or any of it, law of attraction, we really need our present moment awareness.
We really do. I was a manifester all of my life, and a major manifester, and that's what I taught for the majority of my teaching years as an inspirational coach and teacher, until I realized that unless I was in the present moment, things weren't making me happy. And it was only when I combined the present moment with the law of attraction was I able to be grateful and in the moment with all the beautiful things that are always around us. So just a little word, if you're looking to get stuff but you aren't appreciating what you have right now, right this minute, happiness will elude you.
And also, one of the practices I use, and I'm sure you do too, is when we're in a funk, if you can make a list of 50 things you're grateful for, and that inner critic will not want to do this, but even if the little things that I have a blanket, I have food, whatever, and you start building upon that, not only can you get the law of attraction going and be in the present moment and feel good, but if you're grieving or if you are depressed, that kind of a behavior actually rebuilds those healthy chemicals that we have lost. So anything that we can do to feel good will actually reverse grief and get us through grief faster.
Well, that's a beautiful scientific explanation of it. And of course, and I love that, and it just adds to my teaching, which is your vibrational plane that you're on will attract either what you consider good or perhaps what you consider not so good based on your thoughts and your beliefs. And I guess there's a chemical component to it. And that's what you're saying, correct?
Exactly.
Interesting. Interesting. It all works hand in hand. You know, we've only got another few seconds, but before we do, and with closing remarks, I just want you to spend like 30 seconds on remote viewing.
Yes, this was the thing that seals the deal for people, because it makes sense we don't die, that our loved ones are still around. But some people might not feel that they really are this infinite soul just being housed in a human being's body. So I teach what's called remote viewing. It is an ESP technique. When we quiet our mind, no surprise here, but if you have a magazine in front of you that you have just purchased, you've never opened before, and you quiet your mind, do everything you can to be in the present moment, and you play, kind of like when I learned mediumship, if you were psychic and you knew what pictures are in that magazine, what pictures would be there?
Wow.
And you allow your mind to make up or just allow pictures to show up, because pictures will show up in your mind. Have a notepad with you. That inner critic will want to keep chiming in saying you're making it up, this isn't real, and you just say thank you for sharing, but I'm going to play this anyways. You have to be willing to be wrong to be right. So as many things as you can write down, and some will seem really far-fetched and some will seem like, oh, everyday items that you see in your mind anyways, well, after about 15 minutes or so, when you get out all of these things onto your paper, you start thumbing through your magazine. And I'm talking, Lorraine, weird stuff is there. You saw a ladybug in your mind. There it is.
Oh, my goodness.
You see Abraham Lincoln in your mind.
There
it is.
And so is this something you teach in the book a little bit?
Absolutely.
Great.
I do.
Great.
Yes. Because when you have that feeling, there's no way you can see in split second pictures before you've opened a magazine, and it just helps us believe, if I could just do that, I must be more powerful than I know. I can't just be this body.
Wow. That is so, so empowering. Sandra, I want to thank you so much for being my guest. We will have part two, I can assure you.
I love that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And for those of you that are interested in getting happy, go on over to my website, yourhappinessway.com, and look for my new series, which is Happiness First, and the Rest Will Follow. And it's all about what Sandra and I have been talking about. Change your vibration, put yourself in a happy place, and good things happen. The other things come to you. This is Lorraine Gordon and Sandra Champlain, and I will be back with you once again next week, same time, same place, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Happiness First, the Rest Will Follow, with Lorraine Gordon.
Because I'm happy.
She'll be back next week with another great show. And to learn more about Happiness First, visit LorraineGordon.com. That's LorraineGordon.com. Be sure to subscribe and receive some fantastic free gifts. Lorraine wants to bring you more of what you want, so please make a comment on the show page here. Or you can email her at Lorraine@LorraineGordon.com. And thank you for listening.